welcome to Inside Education on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Each week, Inside Education brings you the best from the world of education from an Irish perspective. My name is Sean Delaney, and you can listen to or download hundreds of podcasts of previous editions of Inside Education from seandelaney.com/podcasts. The guest on this week's programme is Dr. Marco Snook. Marco Snook is from the Netherlands and is an expert on teacher education who advises institutions about policy. He is lecturer, which is equivalent to professor, of applied research at the Amsterdam Institute of Education at the University of Applied Sciences Hogeschool van Amsterdam in the Netherlands. His research focuses on professional quality, professional development and leadership of teachers in the context of school innovation. I met up with him at the Association of Teacher Education of Europe annual conference, and I first asked Marco Snook how he became a teacher educator.
I studied physics at university, and during that study I realized that physicists just do one thing, that's looking at spectra, and then do a lot of calculations, and finally they came up with some kind of answer. And that's something I thought, well, that in the end will be boring. And that's one reason. The other reason is that I couldn't explain to my friends what I'm working at. And if you're at the third energy level of the hydrogenous atom, well, that's not really interesting. So I wanted to do something with physics where I could talk about with people, where I could share my passions and things like that. So at the university, I decided to take as a major physics didactics. And I think I was the first one who ever chose that as a major subject. So I had to present myself at the exam committee to motivate why I wanted to take that as a key topic. And they said, well, okay, you're allowed to do it, but then you're only suited for education and nothing else. So that's the start of my career as a teacher. But directly after I finished my teacher education, I was asked to replace someone within a teacher education institute. So I'm one of those teacher educators who never thought in secondary schools.
So straight into teacher education.
Yeah.
And based on your experience, how do you think somebody should prepare to be a teacher educator?
Well, I think that the funny thing about teacher educators is that there is not a degree to be a teacher educator. So there have been many discussions about when are you a good teacher educator and should you have experience in schools, for example, as a teacher. And I think that certainly will help. I also think that within teacher education, we need a variety of staff with different backgrounds trying to support student teachers. I think the key thing is what recognizes or qualifies you as a teacher educator is the understanding that your main job is to prepare students to become a teacher. So you need to think about their learning processes, and you need to understand that being a teacher educator, a teacher of teachers, is something different than being a teacher. So that added level, that you always are a role model to students, I think that's one of the key elements of qualifying yourself as a teacher educator.
And what do you think your study of physics in particular has brought to your understanding and to your practice as a teacher educator?
Well, I think my study of physics mainly taught me an analytical mindset. And I think that's what's very helpful, trying to, well, to get a grip of things, to think systematically, to look for models, metaphors, things like that. I think that's what I took from my study of physics. But I think, well, I developed myself as a teacher educator pretty much by working together with colleagues within my own institution, but I think especially outside my institution, becoming a member of the Dutch Association of Teacher Educators, becoming a member of international networks of the, for example, of the Association for Teacher Education in Europe, because that gave me the opportunity to see what's happening in my country and how is that related to what's happening in other countries. So it broadens your mindset very much. And I think that was helpful.
That's one thing that surprised me, is that there is a Dutch Association for Teacher Education. How does that association work?
The Dutch Association for Teacher Educators is a rather unique one because it's a professional association for teacher educators who try to represent themselves as the professional body of teacher educators. So there's a very strong recognition in the Netherlands that being a teacher educator is a specific profession, which asks for specific standards. And I think that awareness of being a teacher educator is something different from being a university teacher in general is a very strong awareness. The Dutch Association has about 1,500 members, which is quite a lot in a small country, although we have quite a lot of people in our country. But the membership shows that there is this very strong recognition. And the association very much focuses on stimulating debates, discussions, sharing knowledge through a journal, through an annual 2 days conference where there will be about 600 participants for 2 days. So it really is it's a very strong awareness. And I think part of it is once you have reach kind of critical size, then other people will get on and get along. So,
and how is it funded? Is it funded by you as teacher educators, or does somebody outside fund it?
No, it's funded by the membership of participants, and I think that membership is around 90 euros annually. So that's the income, and we are supported by the ministry, especially if there are special projects which are focused on development. For example, the ministry has supported the development of the professional standard and a procedure for registration and the development of a knowledge base. But this is incidental support money from the ministry.
And you've already said that there isn't a degree for teacher educators. So how does somebody become a member of the Association of Teacher Educators?
The membership is open. So everybody who identifies himself as a teacher educator or is interested in teacher education can become a member. If you want to register as a teacher educator, then you at least have to have a minimum amount of interaction time with students. And that can be both teacher educators from universities and universities of applied sciences, but also mentors in schools. So quite a lot of mentors in schools have become member of the association, and they're recognized as full members.
Does the association have a website?
Yes, but it's mainly in Dutch. The association is the VELON, V-E-L-O-N. So it's www.velon.nl.
And one area of research that you're working on at the moment is the teaching profession as a learning profession, I think. Can you say a little bit about that research?
Yes, I think it's partly it's research, partly it's development, and partly it's focus on, well, influencing policies on this area. I think for me, one of the key problems in education is our implicit understanding and our mental models about the teaching profession. And I think the two elements are central in that. The first thing is that we have the mental model of a teaching profession where you study within teacher education, and after finishing teacher education and you start in the school, you from day one you've got full responsibility for your classes. The same responsibility as a teacher who has been teaching in schools for 20 or 30 years. At least that's in the Netherlands. I think that's in most European countries.
The same in Ireland.
Yeah. Okay, so that abrupt change, where from day one you've got full responsibility. I think there are hardly any professions where that change from being a student into being a professional is so abrupt. I think that really is one of the key problems. And of course, we're talking about, well, we need to support students in that abrupt change, but still responsibility from before graduation and after graduation is from 1 to 100%. So that's one thing. The second thing is that if you start as a teacher, we still have the implicit model of schools where there are classrooms with one teacher who's responsible for that classroom. So not only the change is abrupt, but you're also in full isolation. Of course, maybe after school time you can discuss with colleagues, but when you're really working with pupils, you're on your own. So I think that leads to a number of things. First thing is that if you graduate from teacher education and then you come into a school and you get the same responsibility as every other teacher in the school, then the question is, what is there to develop? Because I'm expected to do the same things as a teacher who's been teaching for 20 or 30 years. So there's no incentive, there's no stimulus to develop yourself because you already should be able to do everything. So that's one thing. The second thing, if you're not able to do it, then it's the fault of teacher education. So we expect teacher education to prepare students to take that full responsibility. So if teacher education is expected to do that, they will very much focus on techniques, on skills, instead of a wider understanding of the teaching profession. So it leads to teacher education programs which are instrumental, how to survive the first days in the school. So these are, I think, fundamental problems in the way we've organized the teaching profession. And my message in the Netherlands, but also in working groups within the European Commission, is that we need to understand becoming a teacher as a lifelong process, which doesn't end within initial teacher education. So you can't prepare student teachers to take that full responsibility within the 1 year or the 4 year schedule that you have within your country. It is something which needs to go on.
But supposing someone was listening to this and they said, okay, yeah, you do have full responsibility from day one, but it's phased because over the 4 years or your 2 years of your initial teacher preparation program, you have field experience. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, you start off observing and it's built up and the complexity builds up. So there is that background before you take independent responsibility for a class.
Yeah, but if you look at other higher education professions, then in many professions there's some kind of traineeship or there is some junior program or whatever. And in hospitals or whatever, people are not expected to do the same things as one who is very experienced after 20 years. But we do expect that from teachers. And of course, that's one of the reasons that we think it is important to have a practice-oriented teacher education program, because they need to be able to make that connection between theory and practice during the program. So that's one of the reasons that within teacher education we think that practice-oriented part is so very important. And I support that very much. But still, we need to take a closer look on what are we expecting from teachers once they are out of the program of teacher education. Because within the program, there's still all kind of support. And after initial teacher education, many, many teachers in Europe, in schools, are on their own.
So what needs to happen then? Is it that the education of teachers has to change, or is it that the profession of teaching needs some restructuring?
I think the profession needs to be restructured and our understanding of the profession needs to change. And we need to see the development of student teachers into experienced teachers as a much longer process, which extends beyond the curriculum of initial teacher education. But that also asks, I think, for a very close collaboration between initial teacher education and schools where that ongoing professional development needs to take place. And one of the problems, at least I see in the Netherlands, but I think it's also in Ireland and in other countries, is that the responsibility of universities and teacher education colleges is restricted until the moment of graduation. And they don't have a responsibility after that. Often they don't have the opportunity to do it because of the finances, which are only focused on those initial teacher education preparation. So I think there is one of the problems in really making the profession a continuum.
Let's leave aside the professional development for a moment. Mm-hmm. What kind of changes in the profession do you think might help solve the problem or address the problem that you've identified?
This is one of the questions we've been discussing within the Working Group Schools of the European Commission, which is a working group where representatives from all European member states sat together to share experiences on policy regarding the teaching profession and teacher education. The teaching profession as a continuum was one of the key elements. And what we identified is that there are different perspectives on that continuum which need to be aligned with each other. One of the perspectives is the concerns of the teacher. The concern of a teacher During initial teacher education, it's how to become a teacher educator. During induction, it's how to be a teacher. And during continuous professional development, how to stay and develop as a teacher. So that's one layer, the concerns of the teacher. The second layer is about the support structure. Well, within initial teacher education, the university creates the support structure. During the induction phase, there can be mentoring programs. And the question is, what kind of support structure is there after the induction phase? Then there is the career structure. So how does somewhere one develop within a career, for example, with new responsibilities? That's not very developed in many countries. The fourth level is about, what about competence structures? Most countries only one competence level. That's the level to graduate as a teacher. There's no clear indication of what do we expect from a teacher after 3 years or 5 years or 10 years. Is there a different competence level? And if you don't have those levels of competence, there's not a stimulus to keep on developing yourself. So you need some kind of mirror to look at yourself. Okay, this is where I am now. What would be the next step? So all these different perspectives need to be connected, and I think they need to be connected by a shared vision on the teaching profession.
One perspective that I don't think you've mentioned, and maybe I'm wrong, is that the work of teachers would actually change. So for example, instead of having individual responsibility for a class at the prime, I'm thinking of primary level here, that maybe it might be shared among the novice and two more experienced teachers or something like that. Have you considered that?
Yes, I think that's perfectly right. That one thing which is necessary is to break through that isolation of teachers. And one way to break through that isolation is by making teaching a shared responsibility. I think one of the problems of that isolation is that teachers don't have the ability to have a professional dialogue with each other. Well, maybe during their breaks, but then people are tired and say, oh, don't bother me now because I'm tired.
And it is a break.
Yes, yeah. So what we didn't do is to create a profession in a way that you learn while you do the profession. For example, if you look at schools in the Netherlands, we are very much focused on professional development. So every school has a professional development budget. They have to develop a professional development policy. They have to develop professional development plans. So they organize professional development days.
Every school has that.
Every school has that.
Wow.
So they're very much focused on professional development. But in the end, what we actually say, okay, you've got work, and then we have policies, and then we have also professional development policy. We've got a budget, but we also have a professional development budget. So we have activities, and then there are separate days where there's professional development. So learning in schools for teachers is something different from daily work. So we need to think about how to organize the work of teachers in such a way that it's a source of learning, and not that learning takes place at other moments. And one way to create that is to create forms of peer teaching where you have to discuss with colleagues about the things you're doing, the justification, the problems you meet. And that only happens when you have a shared responsibility, I think.
It's a very interesting idea, even, you know, how willing are teachers to share problems with one another? Because there is a certain, I don't know, defensiveness, or maybe it's because we, from a very early stage, you actually get used to not covering up, but to kind of just getting on with it.
But I think that that's the essential problem of teaching. If you finish initial teacher education, you come into a school, you've got full responsibility, and you're on your own, you're going for safe. You don't want to take any risk. So I think that that's one of the problems, that you won't tell everybody that you've got problems, because probably, yeah, you're expected to be able to do it. And if you're not able to do it or have problems with it, then it's probably your fault. And I think that that's the structure in itself strengthens this problem, that teachers are not used to discussing problems, to ask for advice with each other. And I think things are changing within schools. Well, I'm not familiar with things happening in Ireland, but at least in the Netherlands, I see cultures are changing. So the culture in schools is very essential. If you have got an open culture where people are invited to visit each other, then I think things can change.
And what's bringing about that change of culture in the Netherlands?
I think there are two elements are essential in that. One is that the focus on leadership in schools. So every school leader needs to have a qualification to be a school leader, and there's very much attention on strengthening the role and the professional role of teachers, not just to do what they have to do, to deliver the curriculum, no, to think about what actually do we think is important to teach our pupils. So that's a part of the school leaders. I think the role of school leaders is essential in that. The other part is, if we expect teachers to take that responsibility, then we also expect something from teachers themselves. And in my work, I try to summarize that with the term the leadership of teachers. So teacher leadership is about teachers who take a responsibility not only within their classroom, but in the school as a whole, beyond their own classrooms, to think about, okay, what's happening in our school? How can we improve that? And trying to influence both the formal leaders in the schools and their colleagues. I think that focus on, you could say, developing leadership or developing teachers as change agents, I think this is a very important one.
So when you're talking about leadership there, you're not just talking about the principal.
No.
So can you say a little bit more about what it's like for a teacher to take leadership in the school, teacher who is not a principal?
Yeah. Well, I think what in the Netherlands, we have very much a discussion about to what extent teachers are recognized as a professional. And teachers very much claim we are the experts on teaching and learning, so we have to have a key role in designing the curriculum in schools, and not something outside. We need to be recognized as professionals. I think that's a very correct one and a very good perspective of teachers to take that role and that to have that ambition. At the same time, it requires qualities of teachers to be willing to account for the things they're doing and to open to others about, well, this is what we do and this is the reason why we do it. So it asks a different mindset. The second thing is that it also asks from teachers to, if they want to justify or account for what they're doing, to make a connection with what do we know from research and literature. So it also asks a very high level of knowledge and expertise on teaching and learning processes. And if teachers want to have such a role in schools, they need to understand that they can't do it on their own. They're part of a team. So if they want to change something, they need to get on board their colleagues. So that asks to some extent an understanding of organizational dynamics and of processes of implementation within change processes in schools. So what we've been doing in the Netherlands is to stimulate qualities of teachers in these levels through post-initial master programs, which very much focus on developing such leadership competences.
You mentioned there about teachers accessing research, but isn't one of the problems that really teachers can only do that when they have some attachment to a university? Because a lot of the research on teaching is in journals that are restricted to universities, and it's not feasible for a school or an individual teacher to pay for them.
No. I think, and that's one of the discussions we have with the ministry. I came across a great solution in Scotland where they have a professional register for teachers.
The Teaching Council.
Yeah, the Teaching Council in Scotland. And if you are a member of the Teaching Council and if you are registered as a teacher, you have access to all the educational databases that all the universities have. So the Teaching Council has organized that. We have a Teaching Council in the Netherlands, Onderwijscorporatie. They could have the same opportunity. Of course, it will cost a lot of money. But then the question is for a minister, so how important do you think that qualified research-oriented or inquiry-oriented teachers are for schools? So it's a matter of choice, of course. And I think, well, the same could happen with the Teaching Council in Ireland. If you say, well, this is something we think is important.
Yeah, the Teaching Council in Ireland, in fairness, they actually do have access to some articles. I mean, I don't think it would be as complete as a university would have, but there is some access there. Yeah. So it's a start.
Yeah. Well, it's partly access to research articles. I think for me, the key element is to have an inquiry attitude. And that for me is a starting point. And if you have an inquiry attitude, probably you want to have access to those scientific publications. But I think that the starting point is to have an inquiry attitude.
Because another problem probably is that a lot of those articles are not written for teachers.
Yeah.
They're written for researchers.
Yeah.
So they can be difficult to read if you don't have a lot of time.
Yeah. What we've created in the Netherlands, and that's research practice partnerships between schools and universities, where there's not a strict division between researchers doing the research and then teachers who then take that outcomes of research, but to have a combined task of studying and analyzing practice within schools where both teachers and researchers are involved. And I think there are opportunities because as more and more teachers gain those post-initial master's qualification, they have a basic understanding of educational research. And they become more and more eager to be involved in research activities in their schools. So the potential is growing. But now they do have the problems in schools, but I don't have the opportunity because I have no time. I'm fully booked with all the lessons, etc. And again, that's the question, how do we organize the profession?
If you could make one change to your current institution, and if resources or capacity were not an issue, what would you change?
I think one of the things I would like to change or would like to have addressed more explicitly is that student teachers become part of the community of teachers as a whole. And I think within the subject departments, there are very close connections with subject-specific associations and didactic associations on their subjects, on physics or history, etc. But I think the understanding of teachers, that they become part of a much wider community of teachers, and not only being part, but also being responsible to meet the criteria or the standards which are used within that profession. I think that is something which I would like to introduce much more strongly within our institution.
Dr. Marco Snook there, bringing this week's Inside Education to a close. I'll bring you the second part of my interview with Marco Snook on next week's programme. I want to thank Marco for his time in recording the interview. Remember, you can listen to or download podcasts of this and all previous Inside Education programmes on insideed.com. You can get in touch with me by emailing feedback or suggestions to insideeducation@dublincityfm.ie. Until the same time next week, this is Sean Delaney signing off. Thank you for listening.